for show on FM Talk 106.5. Thank you very much for staying with us on this Monday morning. 251-343-0106 if you want to respond to anything we are talking about. Still come on the program in about 30 minutes. Katie Britt running for United States Senate, also running for U.S. Senate. Bo Brooks, that's in the 10 o'clock hour. We're going to spend a little time on the Senate race there. 11 o'clock hour, good friend, State Senator Greg Albritton will join us, and then we'll wrap it up. I don't know why, but we do it every Monday. Dale Jackson, WVNN, as I said, 251-343-0106. A cutoff there. We'll get back to your text there, Don, on later in the program. Joining us now on the line, I'm very pleased to bring on my next guest. He is your Lieutenant Governor here in Alabama, running unopposed, but looking forward to having a discussion with him, Lieutenant Governor Will Ainsworth, on the line with us. Governor, good morning. How are you?
Hey, good morning, Jeff. I'm doing well. It's definitely different not having a race like I did 4 years ago, and going into the primary tomorrow. You know, I guess people can write people in, but pretty much unopposed. So that's good news, and certainly allowed me to get to go to my kids' ball games and help coach them. So it's been certainly thankful the people of Alabama decided not to run anybody against me. That's a good thing.
Well, yeah, having the opportunity to kind of watch this from the outside, you know, this certainly be, I think, a historic primary cycle in Alabama. Expensive, and you know, it's always interesting these geographic matchups and all that. What kind of talk about us? Tell us about that. What is it like kind of watching this unfold before your eyes, not being a part of it necessarily?
Yes, I mean, I'm still going to events. It's just, you know, you don't have the same pressure you do when you're running, right? I mean, when you're running, you're trying to go, hit every event you can. I mean, I remember a lot of times I got in at, you know, 1, 2 in the morning, you know, getting up at 4:30, 5 o'clock to make the next meetings. And so now it's kind of nice because you can, you know, if you want to go to your kids' ball games, you can go to your kids' ball games. And then, you know, still catch a you know, political rally. And so, you know, and it gets you opportunity to kind of, you know, when you're there, you're, you know, get the opportunity to try to visit more with people instead of trying to, when you're running for office, you want to make sure you hit every person. And, you know, you can actually have real conversations about what we can do to improve our state. Whereas if you're in a room of, you know, 300 people and you're there for 30 minutes, you don't have too many real conversations. So it's been good. And, you know, I think in the governor's race, you know, I really feel like Kay's going to win without a runoff, and I'm supporting her. And so, you know, been on the, you know, been today on social media trying to talk about, you know, some of the good things we've done in our state. And I think you've got all these negative ads and negative messaging that I really don't agree with. I mean, if you look at Alabama from an economic standpoint, I mean, our economy's doing really well. Baldwin County, you know, has grown, fastest growing county in the state. Like, we've created over 65,000 new jobs. Think about what this number I'm about to tell you. $32 billion in new business investment over the last 4 years. Lowest unemployment in the state's history, one of the best business climates in the nation. You know, there's a lot of good things going on from an economic standpoint. And, you know, I think a lot of that is the testament of, you know, Governor Ivey came in and, you know, there was a mess in our state, a lot of corruption going on in the speaker's office, you know, scandal kind of in the governor's office. And she got all that stuff straightened out. And, you know, Alabama's really getting to be known as a, not only a tourist destination, you're part of the world, but also as an economic engine. And so I'm excited about what's going on in the state and, you know, going to encourage people to vote for her and vote for me. And let's continue the progress over the next 4 years.
It's certainly been a good run for Governor Ivey as governor, I think, at least on the economic incentives, I mean, initiative side. A lot of new businesses have come. She's done a lot of ribbon cuttings over the last 5.5, 6 years. And, you know, that's important stuff. But tell us a little bit about, like, if you're Governor Ivey, and maybe from your perspective going forward, looking at, like, this next quadrennium and things that you think she is, I guess, equipped to get done. Improving education seems to be at a lot of top of everybody's list. We also got, you know, some of the infrastructure questions where we start seeing more benefit of the Rebuild Alabama Act for 2019, things like that. What do you think the next 4 years look like?
Yeah, I mean, so I think probably the next two for sure are going to be continuing to push back against, you know, Biden and D.C. I think obviously continuing to work on education issues, especially in inner cities, and, you know, what can we do in inner cities? Now, if you take out some of our inner city historically failing schools, you know, Montgomery's one of the worst, right? But, you know, and you just look at, you take some of those out, Alabama, a lot of our schools do very well, right? I mean, but, you know, we've got some that have been historically failing, generational poverty, generational, you know, unfortunately, crime, you know, generational failing schools, and we're going to have to bust those up and even put charter schools in their place, you know, give them school choice where they can go to a private school, but we're going to have to target those historically failing schools if you want to do that. And I think things like, you know, we had the MAP initiative last year that just got passed, you know, same thing that they did under Governor Riley with the Reading Initiative. And, you know, I think that's going to make a difference to really focus and dial in on math and have math coaches in there and, you know, really try to make sure that these kids are learning math. But I can say this, you know, my kids go to a public school and, you know, Hunter, one of my twins is in sixth grade, but he's on a 12th grade level in math. You know, so I mean, that's pretty good. And he goes to Gunnersville School here and where we live, public school. And so, you know, there's a lot of good success stories. I mean, National Merit Scholar right here in Gunnersville, you know, and, you know, down in Baldwin County, talk about over the next 4 years, right? What is the one of the things I think we got to do, and I think the governor's administration is going to be committed to it, is not only do we send students in high school to college, but also we got to get them ready in Baldwin County with the old Workforce Development Center, and the fact that the state has already put resources towards that, I think that will be a model for the rest of the counties in the state on how we get students kind of two tracks. One track, yeah, let's get them ready for college. You know, if you're going to be a doctor, if you're going to be an accountant, going to be a nurse, right, go do that stuff. And then also, how do we get them ready for jobs that don't require college degrees? And I think the trade school, you know, career center y'all are doing in Baldwin County will be a model for every county in the state. And the state's going to be a partner in that. We're going to put money into it. And so I think that, I think obviously, now look, I'm not going to risk my reputation, you know, Governor, I supporting somebody unless I think they're a strong conservative. She's one of the strongest conservative governors in the country. Now, she's not going to be out there like DeSantis, you know, which is, DeSantis is probably more my style on how I do stuff. But she fights back, and she surrounded herself with really good people. And, you know, and I'm proud of the work we've done. And I think, you know, there's certainly more work to be done in education. There's still, we got to continue to get people trained for all the jobs we're bringing in. But guess what? It's not going to stop. People are going to continue to move to Alabama. And here's why they're moving here. Because we have some of the lowest taxes. Because kids can actually go to school. Because we don't have mandates. You know, and that people, you know, it's a great business climate. There's low crime. Great quality of life. And I could go on and on. But there's so many good things going on in our state. It makes me mad when, you know, these people start running negative ads. Just talking about a few negative things or a few problems. Every state has problems. But, I mean, we're trying to solve them. We're going to continue to do that.
Yeah, because, well, I mean, I guess if you, and this is maybe more subjective of a question, but you look at the, you know, the last 40 years here in Alabama, and, I mean, do you feel like this is maybe, as far as state government goes, I know a lot of, there's a lot of national influences on our economy, but just from a state perspective, this is probably the strongest the state economy's been, at least maybe in our lifetimes.
Yeah, I think hands down. And I think, you know, I mean, the fact that one of our cities in our state was ranked number one in the country, and then you dive into the data of that, why is that? Okay, this is important to understand the why, right? It's because we have lower housing than most cities. We have higher pay than the average pay, right? That is why they got that. And, you know, that's why Space Command's coming to Alabama. That's why we beat states like Colorado and Florida. And so, you know, it's conservative policies that have worked. And the idea is that we want businesses and people to keep more of their hard-earned tax money. And, you know, and that's why this, like, last year we gave $140 million back. We got rid of the business privilege tax, personal property tax, which will hit every small business. We said we're tired of people drawing a check from government, and we're going to pass a law to make sure that, you know, if you're getting unemployment, you better really be needing and can't find a job, not trying to game the system. And, you know, those are things that I think we can do as a state. But look, you're going to have people that are going to game the system. You're going to have people that are going to, you know, just not care about school. But I think what we've got to do is do everything we can to give every student in this state a chance to be successful in a 21st century economy. If we do that, it's going to lower the prison population, and it's going to, you know, allow kids to do what God created them to do, which is go out there and work and find out what you're passionate at, find out what your skill set is, and go be successful. I mean, you're really good at radio and writing, and, you know, you got a knack for politics, and you're doing really good at it, right? And, you know, everybody's got something. It might be a welder. It might be a teacher. It might be a lawyer, a doctor, an accountant. And I think the purpose of what we got to do in education, if we want Alabama to be a leader in the country, is find out what every student can do. And then some of them need to go, you know, it doesn't really matter necessarily what they make on the ACT. It matters that they're trained for a job and that they're going to be able to provide for their family and do really well. Maybe one day own their own business doing that as a electrician or, an, you know, as a plumber or as a welder. And those are great jobs, and that's going to continue to be there forever. And so I think, you know, part of it's messaging and making sure we let kids know that trades are not for kids that are not successful. You maybe can be more successful in trades than you can go another route.
Joey Bye, Lieutenant Governor Will Ainsworth here on the program for just a few more minutes. Governor, I'll let you toot your own horn here, but, you know, we talked about Space Command, talked about military, and one thing the state has done, and probably with your guidance, I would say, made it a little easier if you're, you know how it is. I was for a brief time for a few years a military brat, but we moved a lot, and you get stationed in different places, and sometimes that is the case here in Alabama, and making that transition from one place to another, one state to another. Briefly, just kind of tell us about how that's worked and what that is, but I think probably lends itself to something like Space Command or any other expansion of our military installations has lent itself to that.
Yeah, I mean, I think when you look at rewind for a second. So I'm chair of Military Stability Commission. I'm national chair of the Aerospace States Association. You know, y'all's part of the state down in Baldwin, Mobile County, exploding in aerospace and defense type industry, especially aerospace. It's been exciting to see. You know, northern Alabama, up around Huntsville, obviously, aerospace and defense. We're also working on cyber on that. But when you look at Space Command, I mean, they go down, and Alabama was only deficient in four areas. The next closest state was Colorado, I think, right at 10, and then Florida was around 15. But when you look at that, talk about some of the work we've done, and is it making a difference? One of the areas we were deficient of the four was a thing called license reciprocity. We passed 22 military bills, 15 of them dealing with license reciprocity, to take us being one of the worst states in the country to one of the best in the country. And, you know, and so with that, now we're only deficient in three areas. And so we're one of the most, if not the most, veteran and military-friendly state in the country. In my opinion, we're the aerospace capital of the world, Alabama is. And just to give you an idea, the Military Stability Commission was created under Governor Ivey when she was lieutenant governor. And so I want to make sure she gets credit for that. She was also a chair of the Aerospace States Association. So it's not just, I don't want to, you know, toot my own horn here and say, oh, this is all stuff we've done. It's a lot of people have worked hard, and Governor Ivey certainly deserves her credit for doing this as lieutenant governor, but then also as governor supporting us. And she's great to work with on any of these issues. She's like, hey, Will, you know, I support you. This is great for the state. Let's go out and get this stuff done. We want to be the most veteran and military-friendly state in the country, and we want to make sure we continue to plant the flag in Alabama that we are the aerospace capital of the world. So, you know, these are all great things, and this just didn't happen by chance. It happened by a lot of people working together, and that's why, you know, y'all's mayor, Mayor Simpson down there, Mobile, you know, he endorsed her. That's why there's a lot of, you know, people across the state. That's why I'm endorsing her, because I want to keep the progress going. And, you know, it's an exciting time in Alabama.
Lieutenant Governor, we got to leave it there. You've been very, very kind to make time for us this morning. Well, even though you're running unopposed, I suppose best of luck to you tomorrow, and we will talk again soon.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, Jeff. Appreciate it.
Thank you. All right, guys, we got to get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Porter Show on FM Talk 106.5.
The poets tell how.